This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. This is your boy DJ Small Quizzy. Welcome to CliffCentral.com. This is the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. It's another privilege to have you guys, or to be with you guys this morning. And I promise you, we got a very interesting show coming for you. And every single Thursday, we try to bring you something that is interesting, something that is worth listening to, something that is for the youth out there, something for those who are grown up. We don't really focus on a particular age group, but we are a youthful show. We're all about inspiring and bringing you interesting stories and people to share their journeys, and hopefully at home you're going to be inspired. But yeah, this is DJ Small Quizzy. It's an honor again to be with you guys, and it's always a pleasure to be on air. And I've had a very fantastic week. There's been quite a lot of things that have been happening in and around the country. There's a lot of things that have been happening on the media. And I've been paying attention, and some of it is very sad, some of it is very funny. And you know, one of them that I can point out, I mean, the other day I was on social media and there was a trend that's going on about the Datsun Go car. I'm not sure if I'm actually giving free advertising, but hey, it was a funny story, and someone actually rejected a present from it was a boyfriend who bought a car for a lady, and she rejected it because, I don't know, the car was not worthy enough for her to have. And it was very interesting to observe that. And you know, it brought quite a lot of questions when I actually saw the comments. People were commenting that, does she even have enough money to even buy a car for herself? Blah, 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 blah. There was a whole lot of things. And again, I mean, as you look at through the social media, we also saw quite interesting things unfolding during the week with our minister, Malusi Gigaba. And there was a very interesting video circulating around WhatsApp and social media, you know, with something that I don't think that most of us were very pleasant to see from the minister himself. But he had a lot to say. As I was actually watching Parliament the other day, I think the Parliament member Mr. Ndlozi made a joke in Parliament with him, and there was a couple of things that people were not very satisfied about with the responses with regards to that. But yeah, there were some of the things that unfolded. There were some of positive things. There was soccer that was happening yesterday. To all the soccer fans, we saw Man United against Juventus, and Man United came back with a bang, and they managed to snatch the game away from Juventus. And I'm sure all the Man United fans are very thrilled to see that they actually won the game. And yeah, man, it was something that was pretty exciting. And on the other fronts, there was a couple of things that were happening. We saw also last week, I think there was the burial of WHP, the legend in the music industry, the hip-hop legend in South Africa, who really played a huge role. And as the Unplugged and In Charge radio show, we pay so much respect to the family, and we say to him, he rest in peace. But then again, there was something that was happening after that with the wife and the family. There was a whole lot of debate around his child and what the family was doing to the wife. You know, everybody was behind the wife being strong and all of that. But then again, we heard that the child was being chased away from the family, and it sparked a very big conversation around the country about marriage and the in-laws and people being married. And then, you know, we found out that it was a customary marriage. But then again, you know, there was a couple of things that got people talking in terms of, you know, when people decide to actually officially tie the knot, what are some of the ways that they can look at to make sure that they're protected, and there's nothing that actually happens that causes drama after one of the partners passes away. But it was something that really got us thinking a little bit. And then again, there was a couple of achievements. There's a lady at the University of UKZN. I'm going to share something with you. I actually took note of it. If you can just give me a little bit of a moment for me to find it. Let me scroll down some of my notes so I can make sure that I actually say the right thing. Yes, man. Her name is Nomfundo Thobeka Masangeni. She completed her PhD in chemistry at the University of KZN. She has become the youngest PhD holder in South Africa. And she's recognized as a committed young woman and draws inspiration from Dr. Msangeni. And she's done quite an outstanding work. you know, when it comes to education. And there's a couple of things that young people are doing out there that is really outstanding, and we do observe that. And also something else that is quite interesting, 14 of our township schools will have an option to study Portuguese in addition to Swahili and our indigenous languages. Something that's very exciting for our kids to participate in these programs to enhance their economic opportunities. And as you know, as we go forward, you know, it's always good to see young people participating within the mainstream economy, and to also be to know what's happening out there within Africa and the world at large, to be able to be in touch with what's happening, you know, within the first world and other continents, and to be able to, you know, because one thing that I find, you know, we this kind of a thing, it restricts the kids to be able to understand what's happening. Because I mean, some kids have an opportunity to go study overseas, and they find themselves that they have never come across any of the languages that they encounter with within other countries. And this opportunity, and I think it's brought by the Department of Education in South Africa to just broaden the opportunities for young people to do whatever they do, whether it's business, whether it's careers, whatever that it is that they wish to partake in. But that's some of the interesting information that I wanted to share with you in the beginning of the show. Just before we start, we're going to be having two brilliant guests in the show who are going to be with me throughout, and they're going to share their stories and speak about some of the things that they do, share their journey and inspire you back home. And yeah, man, it's also beautiful to see that some of my friends around me, they're actually winning. Shout out to my boy Focalistic with his latest single Duncan Bilo, which is something that is amazing. And I say this because he's my boy. I've seen him grow up in the music industry before even, you know, he is where he is today, and he's really killing the game, and he's making a lot of these experienced and you know, so-called big artists in South Africa, you know, he's shaking the feathers and he's making them stay on their toes, and well done to him. But yeah, man, it's the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. We're all about constructive conversations, and we're going to be chilling. I'm going to be chilling with you between 11 and 12 p.m. And yeah, man, on my front, there's a couple of things that are interesting that are coming up within the month of December. I'm not going to share some of them. I think I'm just going to sort of drop them in announcement for now. And then as the weeks go on, and as you listen to the Unplugged and In Charge radio show, I'm going to be sharing a couple of things. And do stay tuned in, because I'm going to share some stuff, I think, in the last 10 minutes of the show. I'm going to let you know some of the stuff that is interesting that's going to be happening within this weekend and the coming weekend and later on this month. And I can assure you, this month of November, we're going to be closing off 2018 in a bang, because some of the guests that are going to be coming in the next week and the following week until we close off for holidays, I can assure you that we have a lineup to die for. And please do not stop listening to the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. If you want to interact with me, I'm at SmokeCuzzy on Twitter, at SmokeCuzzy on Instagram. I'm at SmokeCuzzy or at DJ SmokeCuzzy on Facebook. So if you wanna tag me or ask anything that you hear on the show from our guests, you're more than welcome to tag me, and you can hashtag Unplugged Radio Show. I'm actually suffering from flu, and I found out that I'm actually not the only. I thought I was the only one. And it is so funny that I'm suffering from flu, and it's so hard. And it's funny that the weather the past few days, it's actually been very, very, very funny. And for this time of the year, for us to experience a bit of winter within spring, it's very funny. I think that's why everybody's getting sick, because the body gets warm, and then all of a sudden there's a cold weather, and then everybody has flu, and then you encounter someone. And I'm a person that, you know, I work with people. I greet a lot of people, handshakes, it's hugs and all of that. So for me to catch flu is easy, you know. So, but I've been trying to nurse myself. I've been suffering the past, I think, few days. I think there's a time that I couldn't function at all. And I decided to say, you know what, I'm going to just sleep. I'm going to take medication. I'm going to drug myself. I'm just going to sleep, wake up, eat healthy, make sure that I'm healthy, and I keep and I look after myself. And I do a little bit of exercise. I don't normally exercise, which is something that I need to make sure that I actually, you know, take seriously, because I need to look after myself. But yeah, that's from my side. I'm getting a little bit better. As you can hear on it, I'm trying my best to be strong and to make sure that I make no mistakes. But yeah, no flu shall prosper. Because I'm going to have a good show. I'm looking forward to be having a guest. I'm actually with Upalesa with me today, who's going to be sharing her story on the show. And I also have another guest that's on his way, and we're going to have a very fantastic show. And I'm going to bring Palesa onto the mic. Hello, Palesa.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Sure. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah. I've got flu.
And you actually hugged me downstairs here. Like, I might just get sick.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, you're not going to get sick, trust me.
I hope not.
No, you're not going to get sick. So don't worry about that. But yeah, how are you doing?
I'm okay, man. I really hate cold weather, so it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah?
So yeah, but I'm good.
Did you get flu over the past few days by any chance?
I mean, not over the past few days, but like the last winter. And flu always gets me like at the end of winter. Mm-hmm. So I can survive the whole winter, and like when it leaves, it's like, no, I forgot about you. Yeah. And then it comes back.
All right.
So yeah.
All right, cool. What were some of your highlights through in the past week?
I've actually been so busy, but it's, for me, it's definitely WHP's passing. Like, it's actually very deep, and what Lerato's going through is also just another different world that it's very complex when you touch issues like that, you know, because when things are good between two people, people always share things, right? But when things are bad, like, you don't make announcements, you know. So for me, it's definitely been the WHP passing. You know, I've been listening to his music a lot and just remembering, and the impact that he's made. And it reminded me of why I started liking Motoko music and groups like Morafe, and, you know, and so yeah, that was like my biggest highlight. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
All right, and some of the lessons that you've learned during this week?
Time management, I think. Because, like, I've been going through, like, a lot of changes in, like, the past 2 weeks. And I think the one thing that actually stood out was, like, time.
Sure.
You know? So, actually, I think God is speaking to me.
Yeah.
So, my time needs to be on time.
Okay, so it's something that you need to make sure that you're on point.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool. And then today's a Thursday. Mm. And I think the other day I was tweeting, and I said to my, and I tweeted a tweet that says, I remember the days of spin tops, yo-yos, and Pokemon.
Mm.
And it was something that I was just reflecting that, you know, it's always good to you know, I mean, it's a privilege to have grown up in that era. And I find that it's something that you won't find a lot in these days, you know.
Yeah, I mean, those are actually some of the best days. And I can definitely remember the day I learned how to, like, spin the top. And it was like, wow, like, it was an achievement.
Yeah.
You know. And, oh, Pokemon was different because we were watching it, and then there were like newspaper articles about it being demonic, and when you're sleeping, they're gonna come out and strangle you in your sleep, and you're like, guys, like, we're just watching cartoons, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, for some time, we were actually not allowed to watch it because it was in the papers.
Sure.
You know, and obviously, back then, like, whatever was in the newspapers was like a real thing, you know? And that died out. And then we started watching it again. I mean, nobody died. Nobody got strangled in their sleep.
Yeah.
So it was actually a great era. That was the era when we didn't have problems. Like, you just needed new marbles, and you'd like tell your mom, okay, I lost all my marbles. I need new marbles. You know what I mean? And marbles was such a thing that you actually didn't know that you can walk into a shop and buy them.
Sure.
And all we knew was you have to win them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great era. It really was.
Today is I mean, it's a Thursday, and normally people say it's a throwback Thursday.
Yeah.
What are some of the games that you can reflect on, you know, that you grew up loving and you took a lot of lessons from when you were a kid?
It's actually two. I used to play Diketo. That's the game with the stones, where you have the stones in like a circle and you throw one of the stones up and then you pull them out of the circle, you know. So I was actually very good at that game, and what I actually learned from that game was the lesson of detail you know, and also strategy, because the girl who stayed next door, she actually taught me how to play with those stones, and I kind of like was watching her, and I was like, and then I learned all the strategies of how to win. So every time someone would be like, do you want to rally together? I'm like, no, come through. You know, because like I knew I had all the strategies, and obviously I beat them, like, you know.
Sure.
So that was actually one of the best games that I enjoyed playing. And then the others were just spinning, skipping, you know, yeah. Take it, don't. You know, that was my favorite. That was my favorite.
There was an interesting tweet that I saw about the stones.
Yeah.
They were saying, there's a picture, I think probably you do know it. It's a girl that's got, it's a picture that's captured with a girl concentrating on a stone in the air while she's obviously trying to play with
pull them out,
and,
yeah.
And the caption said that, no wonder why girls can be able to dribble that. What do you have to say about that?
I mean, I'm sticking to my story.
Yeah.
You know, learn strategies. I'm implementing them in different ways. I don't know about dribbling guys, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was a funny meme, though.
Yeah, very, very funny.
Yeah.
But that's something that's very, very interesting. All right, Palesa. Look, man, we're going to take a little bit way back. Mm. We want to know about who Palesa is, what's Palesa, what she has got up to, what she's doing. But we want to know, where does Palesa come from?
Okay, I am originally from Tembisa. I'm from Hospital View. Born in October 23rd, like my birthday just passed, actually. Born in 1990, I am my mother's only child, but, you know, like, come in black households, you grow up, you live with your uncles, aunts, and everyone, and then their children, your cousins, technically, are actually your siblings, you know? So when I say I've got my older brother, my older sister, my younger sister, they actually like my aunt's kids, but those are my siblings. So I never really count myself as an only child. Like, when someone always asks, so how many siblings do you have? I always start with, okay, I do have brothers and sisters, but sure, technically I am my mom's only child. But yeah, I grew up in Tembisa. I went to school in Midrand. We started school in Midrand, and then I went to Halfway House Primary. I matriculated at Midrand High. Yeah, and then for some parts of my life, I moved when I was in high school. I moved out. My mom and I moved out, and then we stayed in Midrand. So that's when I was like primary, and then high school, and then we moved back home, and then from home I moved to varsity. I was staying in Joburg, and I went to UJ. So it was a big adjustment, because I mean, I was staying on my own, and I used to like going out, you know. So went out, trying to juggle the books. But there was just this one class I had at 7:30 on a Friday. And Thursday nights in Joburg were really nice, you know. There was some event called the Jump Off at Cool Running, so we always used to go there. So the 7:30 was a bit of a struggle, and that was probably why I didn't finish in UJ. But then I made the conscious decision. I moved back home to Tembisa, and I decided to finish my degree through UNISA. That's when I changed to studying communication science.
Okay, hold it up there.
I was like going all in, like.
All right, hold it up there.
Yeah.
So you tell me that when you moved and you went to study in tertiary, you became a nightlife person.
I mean, I didn't become it, because I've always been. Like, I started hanging out with my older cousins when I was 15. I mean, the first time I was in the club, I was like 15, 16.
Wow. So, and how did you manage that?
I mean, they were older. They would, like, dress me up. They'd be like, hey, no, you need to wear these shoes. You have to wear this. You need to look old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I made it, and that's literally how I've been. And I think my mom knew about it, actually, but she trusted me because I was with, like, my older siblings. Like, you know, older cousins and...
Were your older siblings behaved?
Oh, definitely. And they were very, like, overprotective over me. Like, even if guys would try talking, like, no, leave my little sister alone. You know, they'd, like, be so, like, okay, overprotective.
All right. That's good then. Yeah?
Yeah. And I mean, it went on from 2006 or 16 and 17. When I got to matric, it was still happening. And my mom trusted me because every time I'd go over to my friend's place, and if I was sleeping over at a friend's place, I would take my bags, I'd take my books and study. I would always pass. So my mom really never had a problem. And my friends knew that if we're leaving for a party at like 7, I'm literally, I bath early and then I'm studying before we leave. So sure. I managed it well. But now I think when I got to varsity, it kind of became, it was just a bad habit, you know. The procrastination was like, oh, okay, I'll study later. Okay, I don't need to go to this class, you know. And I realized that I'm not the kind of person who can attend class, you know. I mean, I'll do it if I have to, but if I can stay home and study, then that's definitely what I'll do. And that's why I think I excelled when I was in UNISA. You know, so.
So what were some of the things? Because I'm trying to concentrate on this is something that a lot of young people go through, where you find that someone, you know, they were probably like an A student in matric, they move and they go to tertiary, and then obviously they get exposed to the nightlife, and they go partying, and then they end up, you know, digressing. And I'm trying to find the root cause of you, losing concentration to the point that it led you not to firstly attend school, and then eventually you saw that, look, you're not doing well in your studies, and you went back home. What is the problem that you identified?
I think it's you. I mean, just for lack of a better explanation, I think you kind of lie to yourself that you've got it under control, you know. Because, and it also comes in with the procrastination that okay, if I've got a class at 11, I mean, I can sleep until 8. And then when 8 comes, but my class is at 11. Okay, let me just take another nap, you know. And then you practically nap the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't been to class.
Right.
And then you think that you can cover what you missed. But there's always just some place where you actually just get caught up. And what you thought you could cover, you actually don't. And then you realize that you've actually been doing that for all of your subjects. And now you don't have enough time to cover projects, you don't have enough time to cover tutorials, like, you don't. And
sure,
the worst thing about, well, I mean, it's not the worst thing, but with tutorials, there's some lecturers that actually want you to sign that you were there. Like, they literally want you to sign. And so it was, so I just generally think that it's because you think you have something under control, but you actually really don't. And you're stepping into a whole new environment that you don't know, you're meeting up with people you don't know, you're going to these parties, you don't have to ask for permission. So that adulting transition is like, oh my gosh, I can actually go, I don't have to ask for permission. And they're like, okay, but I need to be responsible. But it's like, you only live once, you know. It's like so many things happening. You're like, I'll see you in the morning.
I get you,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, all right, cool. So now you're going back home, and then you went back home, and then where to from there?
Went back home, you know, so I eased my parents into it, and then I was like, you know, I actually don't like marketing communications, you know, and like, but I knew that had I focused from first year, because I, funny enough, I actually completed like my communication subject until the third year level, and then, you know, I kind of reflected, and I was like, maybe marketing is really not for me, you know, but I'm excelling in the communications part, so maybe let me try and get into that. Because when you're so talkative and people always say, you know, marketing communication suits you because you talk a lot, but it's really not about that.
Yeah,
you know. And then I took that, I ran with it, and I was like, okay, let me try communications. And then I went to UNISA, I was on the website, and then I saw that they had a communication science. I'm like, okay, why is there science with communications? And then I read up on it, and I was like, okay, I think I'm gonna do a BA. I've got 3 years. And then I looked at the subjects, and I was like, no, I can do this. And I mean, I've done some of the subjects at UJ, I can be credited. And then I kind of fell into the same cycle again, because, I mean, I had a car, and that's when I had already, like, had established my social life in Pretoria, you know. So Tembisa in Pretoria was really not that far, and sure, now I'm discovering, oh, I actually have family in Pretoria, so when I go out, I can stay over there. Like, you know, there was just so many things. I fell into that trap again, and you know, when you're meeting so many people and like people know you and it's like, okay, like you feel like you're popular and okay, whatever party you feel like you have to show up. And now it's with UNISA, beginning of the year, they tell you that you have an assignment in April, May. So you're like, okay, Feb, March, I could like live my best life. I live my best life, and then sure. The pressure comes, and then it's like, oh my God, I need to do this. And I would be doing assignments 2 days before, you know, and now you have to fight where you got these quotes, and you're like, okay, now you look, and then they tell you you can't use sites from a bibliography, you can't use from the internet, and now you're like, okay, I just have to use from the internet, because why are you doing things under pressure? So I never had my detail in my work, like it was not there, you know, sure. And the focus and everything, I was really not focused until I started seeing my peers like graduating, buying themselves cars, and I was like, actually, what am I doing, you know? And these are like some of my closest friends, and I was like, damn, like time has really gone by, you know? Mm. And also because now as I was going out a lot, I saw that, okay, I would need money. Now I need gas money. And like my mom is like, oh, I'm not giving you money to go out to a party. You know what I mean? And that's when I kind of felt it. And I was like, you know, I actually need to like pack my life
so
in the shelf.
You realize that you're not spending your time wisely.
Mm.
You're literally wasting
your
time. And
we go back to what I said, time management. So you see how I've been battling with this
yes.
thing for so many years.
Yes.
So that's when I was like, actually... and then what changed is that my mom also got married and she moved to Brakpan in the East Rand. And I was like, and I would visit her sometimes, you know, with my dad, I'd visit them. So now I was like, actually, let me make a conscious decision. I'm going to move in with my parents and I'm going to finish my degree, you know. And
it took that much for you
yeah,
to be disciplined.
It was bad. I mean, I had to move away from Pretoria.
Wow.
You know when they say Pretoria is yeah. like the life of groove, like I had to move away.
Sure.
And I stayed in Brakpan, but I mean I'd go to events, you know, and people would be like, Palaza, after you leave here, are you driving to Brakpan? I'd be like, oh yeah, that's where I'm going. But if it was like a hectic party or whatever, at least I'd sleep home in Tembisa, you know, wake up the next day and go to Brakpan. So I think it was from 2014 that I decided that, you know what, in late 2013, 2014, I was like, I'm going to be serious. I want to finish my degree. I can just see myself wearing my gown, you know. And then I was focused. I actually pushed until 2015. I had one subject, 2015. And,
yeah.
I was actually so annoyed because, no, for the first half of 2015, I had five. Because at UNISA, you can't register more than five subjects per semester.
Sure.
I did the five, and then I was left with one. So I completed the one, and 2015. And this is me starting, my first year at UJ was 2009. So that's how long it took me to get my degree.
So now tell me, in terms of your social life, you know, one thing that I know is that you managed to build yourself quite a, I wouldn't say a fan base, but you were popular. Yeah.
Yo.
You were that girl.
Yeah, like, yeah, in my prime, yo. No, I mean, the thing about me, I remember the first time, it was in 2009, I was staying with my friends when I was at UJ, and they're from Pretoria, so I knew them from high school, and they're obviously like a year above me, and then I was staying with them in first year, and then they're like, no, at the end of, it was in June when we closed, and they're like, no, we're going to homecoming, I'm like, what is that? They're like, no, it's just a picnic, our friends get together, and then I was like, oh, okay, and I think at that time, I wasn't really doing the social thing, because I really was a party pooper, like in the first 6 months of first year, you know. And we went to this event, and that's when I got to meet so many people from Pretoria, and I was like, okay, these people are actually really cool, you know. And I'm not those kind of people, like I'm not uptight when I meet people. I mean, I'm not the kind of person where we can't bring her around new people because she can't adjust well, you know. I really do get along with people, and the first time I meet someone, like, I could hit it off with the person, you know. So that's kind of like how I got a lot of friends in Pretoria. And I mean, like, people really liked hanging out with me, you know. And I would, like, chill with people. I used to like hanging around them. And if people would invite me to an event, okay, we're coming, you know what I mean? I'm with my friends, and they kind of like showed me around Pretoria, obviously, until I kind of like, now I can do this on my own, you know. And it, for me, it started because I was dating someone, and then I found a boyfriend there, so I was like, okay, now I can go to Pretoria alone, I can do this on my own, you know what I mean. So that's kind of like how it grew. And then that's when, like, Twitter, I think, yeah, Twitter started in 2008 or 2009, somewhere there.
Yeah.
And then, like, everybody was jumping onto it and following each other here and there, you know. So that also kind of like helped me in terms of knowing a lot of people. And sure, because I had known a lot of people in Joburg, because I mean, when I was in high school, I partied a lot in Joburg, like Joburg clubs, everything. So I knew a lot of people in Joburg, and I knew, and now I'm starting to get to know a lot of people in Pretoria. And that was before, like, Joburg and Pretoria, people would come to Pretoria for events, or Pretoria people would go to Joburg. So that's kind of like how my name grew.
Listen to you. You know, it's always something that is interesting that, you know, when you go out, there's a sense of, you know, people go out for different reasons. And, you know, when I read up some of the information about you, would you say that your going out and what you studied began to make sense? As much as previously you found it that it was a waste of time, and it's kind of made you lose a bit of concentration when it comes to you studying and all of that. But at what point did you see that me going out and going to the parties, having access to all these things, and here I am studying marketing communications and trying to merge the two? At what point did you find that this actually is making sense?
To be quite honest with you, it's only starting to make sense now. Because when you're studying something, it's like, you know, even when you're in high school, your teachers, they say you're going to need, there's some subjects where they say you're going to need them when you go in life and all of that. And you think of it practically like, oh, okay, I'm totally going to need science when I'm like doing something that's, I mean, with radio, like, I'm totally going to need science, you know. But with the marketing and the communications, it's only now that it's making sense, because I'm understanding working with brands, that's marketing. And what does your brand say? That's communications, you know. And how it communicates with people, and how people actually resonate with your brand, now that's like the part of communications, you know what I mean. So that's something, it's only starting to make sense for me now that, okay, actually, I've studied this before, and now it's starting to make sense. Not like immediately after you get your degree, and or while you're doing these subjects, like, okay, now communications, just because you like to talk a lot. I know, I studied communications. Yeah, but it's not always about the practicality of it. There's also some theoretical things that align with where you're going and what you want to do in life. And that's how I saw that it has actually come full circle for me. At this point.
All right. You do mention that at some point you were actually given money to tweet.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at least your social life got you something.
Yeah. You know, people would always, I mean, it was my family members that always be like, yo, the way you go out, you would say you're getting paid for it, you know? And that's when, you know, you think about it and you're like, okay, now your friend is inviting you to a party. How do you tell them that they must pay you to come and party with them, you know? So I was like, ah, whatever, it will come when it comes. And the way it came about is, I have these friends, they DJs, they were throwing some party called Cap City Crunk in Pretoria, right? It was New Year's party. And my one other friend, my late friend, was like to me, she's throwing, she was also like trying to do events, and she's like, no, I'm having a party on the 31st. I'm like, she's like, no, please tweet for me. I'm like, okay, no, I will. So as I was tweeting, my boys hit me up and they're like, yo, Bali, we can see you tweeting this other party. Now we need you to tweet for us.
Sure.
You know? And I'm like, and they're like, no, we'll even pay you. And I'm like, okay, let's talk, you know? And then, so they gave me the price. I mean, my first tweeting gig was, yeah, 1.5 to tweet.
Yo,
and it was, yeah, I mean, that was some rack back then. Those were racks.
And I'm sure it came,
those are racks.
It came in very handy.
Yeah, no, it did, eh?
Yeah.
So my friend said to me, she's like, yeah, don't forget, we're going to start tweeting tonight. And I'm like, babe, I told you that. And I actually did communicate with her. I'm like, no, I can't tweet for you because, you know, these people are paying me and I can only tweet for this gig. And she's like, I thought we were friends. And I was like, okay, can you pay me? Like, now, can you give me money? And I mean, I chose to go with the money because, like, I mean, seriously, the friendship was really not feeding me at the time.
Sure.
And it's not to say it in a bad way, but it's just to say, like, we also need to understand each other's value, because I didn't know my value at the time. And then when they came at me with money, I was like, okay,
yeah,
that's my value now, you know. And that's when my other boy, I mean, he does the cooler boxing in Pretoria as well, cooler boxing day. And then he approached me as well. He's like, yo, I need you to do this. And I'm like, here's my fee.
So you were good at what you're doing.
Yeah, I was like, here's my fee. He's
right.
Like, 1.5. And then I'm like, actually, it's fine. You're my boy. You know, it's the first time you're doing the whole, like, tweeting thing. And then I gave him a discount. And then he paid me. And then I was like, okay. Yeah, but then January was dry. Yo. Like, you know, no tweeting gigs and stuff. Because I was starting to be like, okay, I could actually do this. Mm-hmm. You know. But then my focus from social media moved away when I was starting to, like, really focus on my studies. Mm. You know. So that's kind of how I lost the momentum in terms of promoting events, you know. So I was almost a promoter.
Yeah.
A real one.
And how long did you do that for?
I did it for about 6 months, mm-hmm. you know. And I mean, the money was coming in slow. So, and that time, like, what Twitter has reached now in terms of, like, influencers tweeting and stuff, it definitely wasn't like that back then.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I remember.
And yeah, now it's like it's thick, like it's inside.
Hey, people are making money these
people
days
on social
media,
bruh. Like, it's hectic.
You know.
You know.
And I think, you know, it's something that is quite interesting, as you mentioned it, that, you know, it becomes like a person becomes like an entrepreneur.
Mm.
I mean, on my own social media platforms, I've had a couple of people inboxing me and say, hey, can I actually promote this? And there's people that actually offer to grow your account.
Yeah.
You know, it's become something that is, you know, people actually live off by.
People, like, we can have PowerPoint presentations and tell you, okay, at this time it's busy on Twitter. At that time, I mean, I could do this, drop this tweet, drop a fire tweet, and then, like, boom, then your pages exploded. Like, you know, so now it's real levels now.
All right, from making your business off Twitter, where did you take your interactiveness with people? Where did you go from there?
So, I kind of did a little, like, promotions, you know. I've promoted dog food, you know, and
yeah.
I was like, I remember it was at the Builders Warehouse in Mooikloof. Yeah, on Gasfontein.
Sure.
You know, and I was like, I just wasn't feeling the promotion thing. Because, yes, I'm not afraid to speak to people. But it's so awkward, like, standing there like, hi, ma'am, don't you wanna... no, that wasn't me. So I also tried the alcohol promotions and... But that just wasn't me. It just wasn't like, you know, I would always just feel like, oh, let me just go and do this thing, you know. And did it... And then focus on studies. But now I remember I literally hit a brick wall where I was like, okay, I know I really like events, you know. There was just this hunger inside of me of like, how do people put events together, you know? So I think it was 2015 where Homecoming Events had, they were hiring interns, you know. And I was like, oh, I'm 25 years old. Like, are they even going to hire me? You know, like, I'm old. In 10 years, I'm old, you know. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to take a chance because I've always wanted to work with them. And I'm like, dude, if you try, you fail, you get up, you do it again. And, like, they called me in for the interview. And, I mean, the interview panel was actually so great because it just wasn't you alone. You know, so you were like sitting with other people,
yeah,
they'd like ask you general questions,
yeah,
make you feel comfortable. And then, I mean, I got the job, you know, and it's so funny because my boss at the time was like, you know, I didn't want to hire you. And I'm like, bro, why? And he's like, no, I thought you were just here for nice times. And I'm like, when it comes to work, I work.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm really not the kind of person who would be hungry for something and then just like, you know, I'd rather it be that I'm maybe slacking or something, but I'd never get to work and be like, oh, this is just play. Oh, it's fun here. It's nice times. You know what I mean? So I was in there, did the internship for a year. I got promoted. I did, at first I was promoted to social, head of social media, you know. So I kind of understood why I was there because, my boss, who we've actually, before he became my boss, like, we were friends. He was also one of the people that I met when I started going to Pretoria.
Sure.
And he put me there, and I was like, you know, it kind of makes sense why I'm there, you know. But slowly, I feel like my momentum was dying on social media. But then, when I actually joined the company, some other boys hit me up, and they're like, yo, I need you to promote a party. And I'm like, the gig is back, you know. So I'm like, okay, cool. Now we're working with contracts. I get my aunt to drop a contract because she usually does like these one-pager contracts for me. Puts it down and I'm like, okay, cool. And my fee was still 1.5. I tried to take it up a bit, but I'm like, let me not kill the boys, you know? Got the contract and then I'm tweeting. And then it was like, you can't be doing this gig anymore because you now work for a different entity. You know what I mean? And people would use the momentum of that company that you're working for to ride on you, and like in terms of like you promoting, so it seems like all of your followers are coming from that company.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So at first I didn't understand. I was like, oh my gosh, these niggas are trying to take a bag out of my mouth. Like, I can't believe this. You know what I mean? And then it kind of made sense, and it's making a lot of sense to me now. And then obviously I couldn't tweet for those niggas and I lost the bag, yo. You know, so after that, my boss explained to me, he's like, no, this is, people will obviously use what the company has done, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, it kind of made sense why I can't be using my personal account even to be tweeting for these people, you know what I mean? So, yeah, and then after social media, I was then promoted to a brand and activations. You know, I mean, at the time I didn't know anything, because with activations, it took me back to, oh my God, I'm going to have to like stop and speak to people and promote something and this and that. But it was actually really cool because of the way they structured their activations, you know, and brand and like in terms of brand management, activations, social media, I've been in the pits.
Not
everything.
Now tell me, in terms of if it wasn't for that opportunity, do you think that you would have been able to acquire some of the skills that you did at that platform somewhere else, or was it going to be as easy? Because, I mean, listening to you, someone can say that you got everything because you knew 1, 2, and 3, or you were close to this one, or you were dating him, or whatever the case might be. In terms of your side, do you really think that it would have been much more difficult if you had to venture into some of the things that you did, you know, in a much different way?
It would have been very hard. I think for me, it would have been very hard, and not taking away from the fact that if you want something, you have to go out and get it on your own,
yeah.
You know. But I don't think I think it would have taken me longer to learn the things that I've learned if I had not taken that opportunity.
Sure.
You know, and it literally, you know, it actually gave me peace of mind when my boss said to me, he's like, I actually didn't want to hire you. And then he's like, no, I thought you were here for games. Because why? He knew me from a social perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He never,
you know what I mean? Like, turning up, it's nice, and I come with the noise, and like, let's get down, you know? So, for me, that comment, like, it didn't hurt me, but it was like, damn, like, I'm so glad that I proved you wrong.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because now I actually can work hard, you know.
So, and you made yourself proud as well.
I made myself so proud that, because even such, like, a lot of them were saying, they're like, yeah, like, dude, like, you're doing so much. And, you know, I'm like, this is actually what I do. It just teaches you that do not judge a person by what you see. And people are different in certain different environments.
Yeah.
So don't ever think that just because this person can be partying until 5 a.m., they actually cannot deliver on what they're supposed to be doing, you know? So that it made me very proud, and I was like, I showed you.
Actually, you know, what you're saying is actually very important, because I have conversations with a lot of people, especially with some of my friends that don't go party.
Mm.
And, you know, when you talk about partying and going out, it's like, you're talking about something that is distractive, you know. They see the partying world as something that is, you know, it's for people that, you know, they're just bored, you know, or you do it because you're crazy, or you're a person that likes drinking, your head, you know, you know, it's all a negative things.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've found, I mean, I can really relate to the whole Twitter thing, because when I came to Twitter, I was really interested in terms of the events. I was studying something totally different.
Yeah.
But when I went onto social, I've always been someone that is in touch with social media. I always want to know what's going on. And some of my friends have always been in this media, social media platforms. So I started off by really observing, you know, I would see posters in those days, you know, it was a thing. When you see a poster, like, hey,
you know,
what's going on there?
Yeah.
You know, you really wanted to be part of everything. And I really learned a lot. And, you know, I can say that I'm also one of the people that, and I'm in the media space right now, I can tell you that some of my first learnings or lessons, I got them by just being on social media, because you learn so much, especially within the space. Mm. And some people think that social media is just a waste of time, and it can do a lot of things for you, and it teaches you a lot. And I think there's a lot of things that, you know, one can learn and lessons from social media. I mean, some people are brands today. People make money out of social media. It's online. And again, I mean, Twitter has progressed from the back in the days to what it is right now. It does so much. So now tell me, in terms of you and what you were doing with Homecoming, you were doing your internship, you were earning money. Now obviously you're finding yourself in this kind of a professional setup. You know, and I see that you served for quite some time. How was that experience?
It was really great, because the people that were leading me,
and I'm
really saying this, like, are people of good character, you know, and I'm not taking away from the fact that it's people, they perfect and they can never be wrong, but the guidance that I got, and even some people that we would interact with that were freelancers, these are people, like, I would just, like, sit and be like, wow, like, these people are so great, like, can they even see themselves, you know? So that's what I'm saying, is that I took a lot from a character perspective. I took a lot, because I came in as my old self, feisty, you know. If anybody starts me, I'm ready to, like, you know what I mean. And you don't understand how to act in a professional environment. And the thing about entertainment and events is that sometimes it becomes just so chilled. Like, you could go to work wearing sneakers, jeans, and now you're like, okay, you know, like, we cool like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, your boundaries get crossed. So what I learned from serving under those people was character. Is that even if we're upset that somebody didn't fulfill their duties, you can't now want to, like, gang up on the person, you know, and just, like, no more involve the person, you know, because, I'm speaking from a perspective that there were so many times where I dropped the ball, and my boss, like, he would reprimand me, but he would also just not exclude me.
Yeah.
So it kind of made me feel like, okay, wow, like, usually when somebody doesn't fulfill a duty, or somebody hurts you, or somebody does something, you cut them off. You know what I mean? So that's why I learned that, okay, you don't, like, in life, you actually don't have to operate like that.
Sure.
You know? So I took a lot of lessons of character, more than, I did learn a lot of things in terms of what the job has taught me and everything that I had to do, but character for me was the one thing that stood out. That's why to this day, those are the first people that I can call and be like, I've got a problem, like, I need your advice on a certain situation, you know. And they always advise me from a character perspective, not from a you under this person, you above this person, so you can do this. It's just like, were human. So that's what I enjoyed the most in terms of me serving at the time, you know.
And I'm sure you learned a lot of time management.
I did. You know what? Actually, no. I actually did.
Yeah.
But like, that's why it's also another thing that eventing is so crazy that you could literally tell yourself that, okay, I know that I have to be, I have a document to do. The document is needed at like 10 or 11, you know. So now you focus on that, but there's so many other things that are happening at the same time, and then there's somebody who's dropping the ball. Now you have to like try and pick it up, because this is a company thing, this is a team thing, it's not a you thing. And it's not a, oh, they drop it, I'm not picking it up, we'll see how far they get. Because at the end of the day, it reflects on you as well.
True.
You know, so you will get a phone call like, okay, no, we need you to do this. Oh my gosh, I'm actually typing a document now, can I finish? Okay, you'll see how you manage your time. That's actually how eventing is.
Sure.
You know, and it comes with a lot of love. Like, you need passion. Like, it was this year where I actually discovered that this is my passion. Like, I cannot be without it. Like, yeah. I would literally like die.
Yeah.
You know, because there's times where I just feel like, okay, I'm really tired. But I think the middle part of it is the passion that pushes you to actually get up and like, I'm gonna go, I'm tired, but I'm definitely gonna show up.
Sure. Mm. Now you say that you left events and entertainment.
Yeah.
Where did you go from there?
I don't think I can say the company's name though, but I was definitely in corporate. I was definitely in a auditing, accounting firm. Like, it was crazy, you know. And I think what took me there was how it looked, because I also kind of battled with perceptions when it came to like social media, because I was like, oh, corporate is so nice, and like, you know, you have your car and you're wearing these heels and you always dressed up and you look nice. Oh, they look cute, you know what I mean? I was like, I want to be like that.
Sure.
And I got there. It was nice for the first few months, and then I had to move to Joburg. You know, Joburg was tough in that place. You know, and I was like, and I mean, it was mostly tough because sometimes it's the working relationship you have with people, you know. And I was like, that's when I actually felt like, I actually can't do this, you know. I would rather have the pressure in something that I love, you know what I mean. I'd rather somebody be like, no, you need to perform, you need to do this, you need to do that, with something that is my passion. And I realized, like, I'm not that person. That's when I started to discover myself, that I'm not that person, and it's fine. Like, there are people for that life, and they're happy with it. I tried it, it's not me. So I tried to excel, and that's why I went back to events, because that's when it hit me that this is actually what I need to breathe. And I remember calling my ex-boss. I'm like, I need you to help me. I need to get out of this place. I cannot do it. I'm about to resign. I need you to do something for me, you know. And he's like, okay, just send me your CV. We'll see what we can do. And then, you know, he helped me a lot. Like, he tried a lot of things, you know, but they didn't work, you know. And that's when I just had a conversation with God, and I was like, you know what, God, it's 2018. You'll see where you take me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm in it. You know, I'm loving it. I'm doing different things every day. It's crazy. But it's the crazy that I love. You know? And, you know, big events. And it's great.
When you say, because, I mean, you're quite vague right now. Yeah. And you know, do you have the opportunity or the privilege to change jobs? There's people that are stuck in their offices. There's people that are doing jobs that they hate. And there's so much that is at stake, to the point that if they ever actually begin to think about moving, there's a lot of things that will stand still, especially from a financial perspective. Those are some of the realities that, you know, it's all nice to say, okay, I was in this job, and then I went to this job. What are some of the things that you had to make sure that are stable for you and to be safe?
You know, it's funny you ask me that, because I'm a mom, right?
Sure.
And I stayed in that job because of my son. But it's, you know, when you actually start to analyze your mission on earth, you realize that you have certain responsibilities, but you also have responsibilities to yourself, you know. And I suffered. I literally couldn't breathe in that world. You know, the corporate was just not for me. I couldn't breathe. I was always stressed. I was like, and funny enough, beginning of Jan, right, they called me in and they're like, yeah, no, we've noticed that your work is lacking and this and that. And, you know, they tried, like, no, we'll just try, you know. In December, they said that. And then Jan, they called me in again. And then the week I was going to resign. And I was like, I spoke to God. I'm like, bro, I don't care what's going to happen. I'm leaving here because I cannot do this.
Sure.
I've got one lost salary that I will stretch out for my son and myself, but I will see what's going to happen. And they call me and they're like, we're not going to renew your contract. I smiled and I was like, really? And they're like, yeah, we just feel like, you know, there's a certain person for the job. I'm like, I agree with you guys. I agree. And they're like, okay, cool. And I was like, cool. And my colleagues, like the ones that I was close with, they're like, so what did they say? I'm like, oh, I'm not coming back end of the month. That's what they said. I mean, can we go get a drink? You know? And they're like, okay. And I was the joy that I had inside, because this is what God, I've been saying to God, like, God, please remove me from this miserable situation, you know? And he took me out of it. And after my last day, because the day before my last day, they were like, okay, you can actually take today as your last day. I'm like, what? I don't have to come back tomorrow. Thank you. You know what I mean? And then I handled it with grace, you know, left the place in such good spirits, even good spirits with the people that were working there, because I never ever showed them how I was really feeling, because it was a me problem.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I left, and literally 2 weeks later, I found something in events. Literally. That was like, I had already made my pact with God that, God, you will see me through this. Like, sure. I'm not going to stress about that. Sure. And literally 2 weeks after that, I was back in my passion. So.
All right. We normally say this is the shortest hour of the week.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just a minute ago that we started the show and we're at the end. But
yeah.
Really, your last words for someone that really wants to get into this kind of type of a career, events, or even want to study marketing communication, what advice would you have quickly in 30 seconds?
Okay, I would say it takes a lot of patience, resilience, and a lot of character, because you're going to be dealing with different types of people. You need to know when to switch it up and when to take it down a notch. And for communications, I'm going to say the same thing I've been saying. If it's your passion, take this time to discover your passion, and once you find that fire, light it up. Like, keep on burning the flame.
Awesome.
You know. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Palesa, for coming through.
Thank
it was a really,
you.
Really, really, really big pleasure to have you,
thank you
on
so
our
much.
Show. Yeah. Thank you so much, and all the best for your future and everything that you're going to be doing. And yeah, we'll see you on the other side. But yeah, this is my name, DJ Spokuzi. Thank you so much for tuning in onto the CliffCentral.com. We're going to catch you next week, same time, same place, 11 to 12 p.m. On CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.